We're continuing on with the 11th Mishnah of the first Perek of Pirkei Avot. And here we have a Mishnah which seems to be directed specifically to rabbis or rabbinic authorities. And it says, Avtalion Omer, Chachamim Hizhiru B'divreichem, that the sages have to be careful in what they say, Shema Tachovu Chovat Galut, right? Lest you incur the penalty of exile. V'tiglu l'makom mayim haraim, v'yishtu ha-tamidim ha-baim achareim v'yamutu, right? Lest you incur the penalty of exile and find yourself banished to a place of evil waters, where your disciples who follow you may drink from them and die. V'nimtza shem shamayim mitchalel, and as a result, the name of heaven will be profaned. So what exactly is the Mishnah getting at here? So if you look at the Bar Tanura, the Bar Tanura says that it's very important that when sages issue proclamations, Shlo tanichu makom lahatot bedivrechem, that the nature of the proclamations have to be totally unambiguous, that there has to be exceptional clarity in terms of what the sages mean and what their intentions are. Why? Because there's always the possibility that somebody can misinterpret them, or that even if the intent of the sage is pure, nonetheless, there is always the risk that somebody will misunderstand exactly what the motive of the sage already was and start to interpret the sage's words in contrast to what the original intent actually was. We saw a case of this earlier in the Mishnah of Antigonus Isocho, who made the claim that you should not worship God al menat lekabel pras. He talked about the centrality of having purity of motivation in the context of one's religious observance. And the Mishnah teaches that some of his students actually heard what he said, understood from that there's no schar v'onesh, and eventually went on to find sectarian groups. And therefore, what the Mishnah is getting at here is that it's exceedingly important for rabbis to sort of teach in a way that doesn't allow for people who have non-pure motivations to either consciously or even subconsciously manipulate what the rabbinic intent actually was. Look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, when the Mishnah references Mayim Haraim, he says, Kinui la'apikorsut, v'amru hishamru b'divreichem b'tocha hamon, v'lo yu b'divreichem makom shizbol. In other words, it's very important that, you know, when the rabbis teach, whenever they discuss things publicly, they have to be mindful of who the potential audience could be. Right? This is always one of the great challenges of educating, especially in the context of the internet. And if you have a shiur which is very specific and enclosed to your group of students, so you A, have a sense of who the students are. They understand you. They understand classroom dynamic. And as a result, you sort of feel comfortable as a teacher speaking your mind, right? Because since you're directly encountering the student face-to-face, if there's any ambiguity, it's very easy for the student to sort of ask clarifying questions and have the rabbi clarify his remarks. But the second a rabbi is giving a shiur that he knows will be recorded and put on YUTorah or some other platform, and he knows that hundreds, maybe thousands of people will be listening to the shiur, so he has to be exceptionally cautious to make sure that nothing he's saying can actually be misinterpreted, right? Because even though theoretically it's possible for somebody who hears the shiur to write him a follow-up email, nonetheless, the chances of that person not writing a follow-up email and then acting based on what they perceive the intent of the rabbi to be, but in reality the intent was something totally different, that generates a hyper-sensitivity of the Magid Shir, of the rabbi giving the Shir, to be extremely cautious in terms of the way in which he teaches. This is one of the reasons why there are many teachers, myself included, who generally speaking, under normal circumstances, don't like recording their daily shiurim, right? Because the second you're recording daily shiurim, so the whole classroom dynamic changes because all of a sudden you have to be super guarded when you speak because, again, since the recording is going to be broadcasted to the entire world and there's no way to guarantee interaction with every person who listens to the shiur, there is always the possibility that whatever you said, right, could be misunderstood. It's actually another interesting point here, this Mishnah, that the Mishnah that I mentioned before, that the Rambam, when he talks about the challenges of rabbis issuing directives in public, right? He talks about Hishamru b'divrechen b'toch ha'amon, right? That again, when you're sort of teaching to a large audience, and you don't know exactly who's there, so there you have to be sort of extra conservative. Again, this is always one of the challenges of education, which prides itself in nuance, right? That black and white directives are always much easier to follow and there's very little room for somebody to get confused. But at the same time, if your educational approach is always black and white, so again, it lacks sophistication and it lacks nuance, right? And you really fail to appreciate the richness of what real dialogue is all about. The flip side, though, is that if your approach is so nuanced, right, that you know, it's not very clear exactly what you're saying, so then you always run the risk that your students or people who hear your shiurim will always listen to what you're saying and not really get any clarity as to what exactly your official stance is. And therefore, they may interpret whatever you're saying sort of in different directions. So again, just to summarize, this Mishnah is talking, again, it's directed towards rabbis. And the message of the Mishnah is that a rabbi has to be extremely sensitive when he teaches. And even if his message makes perfect sense and speaks to a very powerful and very meaningful sort of philosophical posture, he has to be mindful of the fact that people listening to what he's saying, right, may not fully understand what he's getting at. They may not be ready to hear what he's saying. In that situation, there's really a strong possibility or a significant possibility that they may actually misinterpret what he's saying, which is exactly what happened in the story of Antigonos Ishsocho, which we saw earlier on in the Mishnah. And I pointed out that this raises particular challenges, A, for the issue of recorded shiurim, right, the challenge of sort of broadcasting messaging to a large public, as the Rambam uses specifically the word of hahamon, which implies, again, when you're talking to lots of people, there the possibility for confusion is even greater. That's one of the reasons why rabbis oftentimes are resistant from recording at least their daily shiurim. But the second challenge I mentioned also is the idea that when a rabbi is teaching, so it's always easier, it's always safer for him to sort of gear his messaging in very black and white terms. And then there's no ambiguity, everything is very clear, and there's no confusion. But at the same time, he loses out significantly on the nuance. And that's one of the real advantages of having conversations face-to-face, having classroom settings, where you're able to convey nuanced messaging, but you're actually spending more time with the student beyond the classroom and the context of a yeshiva or in a university, etc., where you'll be able to sort of have follow-up discussions, avoid ambiguity, and clarify any things that need clarification. So looking forward to continuing on to the next Mishnah.